I just feel like I'm the most fortunate pastor in the world. I feel so honored every Sunday to look out and see pastors who have retired from ministry that are in our congregation. I think of all the people that I love working with and just sharing responsibilities with you, things like last weekend and all the weekends that we share together. Then I think of the people that God has sent us. And we have hired staff. We know that we have John and we have Vince and ministers like that. But then God has placed in our hearts and our lives people that really love the Lord, that are here to be leaders, and they're here to just touch God. And then out of the congregation, there are people that are pursuing their credentials. And I'm so excited about the call of God that is expanding in this church. And one of those people that God has sent us is Brian Filipek. Brian is just one of those unique guys that we like to have lunch on Mondays as much as possible. And when we do, we talk a little bit about everything, but mostly just life in general and ministry. And Brian, I just want to say this in front of everybody. I appreciate your life. I appreciate your ministry. And I love your kids. They're awesome, except for they're the greatest fundraisers I've ever met. You know, there's three of them, and sometimes it's a multiple thing, but that's okay. God provides, and it's kind of cool. You tell them to always come hit up on Pastor Dave, okay? The rest of you take somebody else out, okay? But we love you. We love your life. God bless. We're so glad you and Sarah are here. Will you give him a big hand tonight as he ministers our...
Hold on. After this morning, and I kind of told you this on Monday, I am so thankful to be here with you and for you to be our pastor, because you're not that person who's up on a pedestal. You're a human being just like us. And you show that time and time again. And out of that example is where I think not only myself, but everybody here wants to grow, to be following in your footsteps, to not be somebody who's on a pedestal, but to be a person, but a person in love with Jesus Christ. Thank you, sir. Yes. Well, before I begin, I think I can speak on behalf of every single veteran that was here on last Sunday. To my church family, thank you. Thank you. I'm kind of a hard-hearted person with the things that I've grown up with and have had to deal with in my life. So there's very, very little things that bring tears to my eyes and move me emotionally. But I can tell you, Sunday was one of those things that just, man, it got me. And so on behalf of myself and my fellow veterans, thank you. Thank you. Can you give yourself a round of applause, please? All right, so this morning, Pastor... He preached from his heart. He really did. And in this, he starts talking about all the bad stuff that's going on, about all the negative stuff. And immediately, I sent a text to John. I said, wow, with about 4 or 5 exclamation points. Because what God has laid on my heart for you tonight, for myself, falls right in line with this. And I'm just like, this is, wow. That's the only word I can think of is wow. But you know, Pastor mentioned that we are in that season of Thanksgiving. It's what, like 2 weeks away? Sarah's birthday, a couple weeks away. And then right after that is Christmas. And you know, it's a time for us to be happy, thankful, joyful. We're supposed to be like that. But for many, many people, it's a time of despair. It's a time of angst. It's a time of unhappiness. And, you know, for myself, many of you know my story, but for those of you that don't, I lost my mother when I was a sophomore in high school. She died of cancer. This year would be 25 years. I've lived more without my mother in my life than I ever did living with her. So for me, this time of year is really, really hard. It doesn't matter what's going on. I'm usually crabby. And I mean crabby. I just really struggle with this time of the year. But I'm not the only person who's like that. There are hundreds of thousands of individuals who struggle with this time of year, whether it be for money issues or death of loved ones in that year or even years past or heartbreak. It doesn't really matter. There are thousands upon thousands of people who are struggling around this time of year. They have no reason in their minds to be thankful. They have no reason to be any kind of anything except for mean-spirited and angry. But you know, I have learned over the past 10 years that there's other reasons for me to be thankful. I don't have to be rich. And I don't have to have everything going on for me perfect all the time. And, you know, it's to this that I want to talk about tonight, but I'm going to take a couple of weird turns here. So I want you guys to kind of hang with me just a little bit. If you guys would, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Matthew 1, verses 18 through 21. Matthew writes, "Now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear and take Mary as your wife, for that which she has conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" This is a very, very familiar story to many of us. Very familiar. But I want you men that are married or that are engaged to think about this for a second. How would you feel if your fiance was pregnant and it's not your child? Now, I'm picking on somebody, and I forewarned them. Pastor, how would you have felt had Debbie become pregnant before you guys got married, knowing that it's not yours? Now, she's not here, is she? Yeah. Okay. See, and I thought about this, and I'm like, from my standpoint, I would have been angry. I'd have felt betrayed. But I think more than that, I would have been livid. Those are the only words that I can think of. If Sarah, my wife, would have been pregnant and it would not have been mine before we were married, I'd have been upset. So we can kind of step into Joseph's shoes just a little bit to see how he was feeling in this time. But, you know, from that human standpoint, you know, let's just kind of go to it. Can you go to the Exodus or Leviticus? Leviticus. Oh, I think I did this one wrong. It's supposed to be Leviticus. My bad. It says, if a man commits adultery with his wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And then in Deuteronomy 22 through 24, it says, if a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die, the man who lay with the woman and the woman. So shall you purge this evil the evil from Israel. If there is a betrothed virgin and a man meets her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the city gate, and you shall stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry for help, though she was in the city, and the man, because he violated his neighbor's wife. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. It's this context that I want to look at this story at now. That we have a young man-ish, he's young-ish, betrothed, which means that they gave a public declaration, binding vows, legal, if you will, in front of everybody that they were going to get married. This was just as good as somebody writing a contract and then both parties signing it. Legal binding contract. And here she is pregnant out of wedlock. It's not his. According to the Old Testament law, which they fell under, he had every right to have Mary stoned. every right. But if you, when you read into in Matthew, it says that being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Well, if we look at human history and history over in that area, even today, there's no such thing as quiet divorce. And more than likely, she probably would not have been allowed back into her father's house, which probably would have been a death sentence for her and her unborn child. So here we have this really messy situation. And within the Old Testament context, there's maybe about like 5 or 6 crimes that require death by stoning. This is one of them. God entered into humanity, into human history in this situation. Something messy, ugly, nasty. He entered into it to say, not only, you know what, I'm going to save this woman, I'm going to save this child, but to say, this is my child. And this is my redemption plan for human, for humans, for humanity. This is my salvation. You know, when we look at those areas in the Bible that we can kind of relate to, and this one's kind of hard sometimes. But God continues, did in the Old Testament, he did in the New Testament, he continued to step into messy areas, into messy situations, into human lives to redeem and to reveal his salvation plan for humans. You know, this death sentence that should have been carried out, God was, nope, I'm going to send a message. I'm going to send an angel. And you're going to say, no, this is not what's going to happen. You're going to take her. You're going to be her husband, you're going to raise this kid. And he did it. And, you know, I think that's kind of the context that we usually look at this from, is that, you know, hey, he was a great guy. He really did this. But in humanity, man, he had every right to put her to death. She was an adulterer from a human standpoint. But, you know, God doesn't stop with this situation. Look at what he does throughout. He takes Levi, or Matthew, who was a tax collector, a collaborator with the Roman government. Well, there's not too many people that could have been considered more scum of the earth than a tax collector. I mean, you got tax collectors and maybe shepherds at this time. We're about the lowest of the low within the Israel community. But yet God reached into the life, redeemed him, and used him to reveal his salvation plan for humanity. Well, then we got Peter. Well, Peter denied Christ 3 times. Really, he betrayed Christ. But you know, God brought him back into the fold to do amazing things. I mean, 3,000 people on one day coming into the family of the church. 3,000 people in one day. A man who betrays somebody doesn't do something like that without being redeemed. But then here's my favorite, Paul. He was a murderer. Or at the very least, he was a conspirator of those committing murder. Yet God chose to work in his life, to redeem him, and to reveal his salvation plan through him. You know, even today, God keeps on entering humanity in all of our messes. He's redeeming individuals who, from our perspective, they don't deserve it. Prostitutes, drug addicts, me. And he continues to work his redemption, salvation plan within us, even though we're carrying all that baggage. Typically I'd make a joke about this, but There's a song that I'm going to read to you. It's from the 90s. Some of my older 40s-ish people might remember this. The Orange County Supertones have a song called Louder Than the Mob. It says, I know I'm just another Judas. Kiss your face while I drive the nail into your hand. I know I'm another Thomas. I won't believe until I feel a hole in your hands. Then I will say, my God, I see not what you see. My God, what do you see in me? My God, crowned in glory, the Lamb of God is worthy. Yet my sin yells, crucify, louder than the mob that day. My sin yells, crucify, crucify, louder than any mouth. This idea of God entering into humanity, into human history, to reveal a plan so that we can have a relationship with him is something that's tangible. I can feel it, but I can see it in each and every one of you. This song definitely personifies how I felt early on in my walk with Christ. I wasn't worthy, not even in a little bit. I didn't deserve that grace or that love, that mercy. Not at all did I, there was no reason for it. In my mind, I was not capable of being saved. Family, there are hurting people in our lovely city of Claremont that feel this exact same way. The pastor this morning talked about surrender. And that's a really, really hard thing for somebody who's caught up in, I'm not worthy, and I'm not capable of being saved. That's a really, really hard thing to grasp, is that, no, you are. All you have to do is surrender. And Paul writes about this in Romans 5, verses 6 and 8. He says, For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2, 1 Peter 1, 17 through 21, the verses go on and on. God loves us. God has not stopped loving us. He has not stopped loving his creation, his family, his children. So much so that he is patient, wanting everybody on the face of this planet to come to repentance, to have a relationship with him. You know, it's for this reason that thankfulness comes into my life, because I'm starting to understand and I realize now that it doesn't matter what I have in my house, it doesn't matter how many kids I have or how well behaved they are, it doesn't matter whether I'm married or divorced, it doesn't matter. These earthly things do not matter. What matters is that God loved us so much that he sent his son into not just humanity, which, you know, which is great. Man, he sent it into a mess. A situation where a life should have been taken according to his law in the Old Testament. But he says, no, this is my son. This is how I'm going to bring everybody back into the family, is through this one individual. Guys, he's doing it day in and day out. In the United States, abroad, it doesn't matter. God is still reaching out and is still in love with his creation, so much so that he's bringing individuals like me into the family. He's bringing individuals who we don't think deserve it into the family every day. Every day. You know, I am so thankful that he chose to say yes to me. That he chose to say yes to my wife. I am so thankful that no matter what happens from here until the day I die, I can always look back and remember that God's in the business of stepping in those messy businesses and bringing people to wholeness because he loves them so much. Now, if you guys came here for a part one, part two, part three, or like Pastor Dave, where he has like 15 points and you're trying to catch them all down, you're not going to get that from me tonight. What you are going to get is this Christmas and Thanksgiving season. Be thankful, but be thankful for the right reasons. Be thankful that God is still working in us, through us, and for us to bring about his redemption plan for the world. To me, that's the reason why I'm thankful. Doesn't matter what else. That is my thankfulness. That is what brings us to this final part here. I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes and bow your heads. Heavenly Father, as we close out tonight, as we step into our normal everyday lives for the rest of this week, Lord God, remind each and every one of us that it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. It could be horrible. But Lord, we have reason to give thanks, and that's because of you and the sacrifice that you did some 2,000 years ago by sending your son to this earth so that he could be the sacrifice on the cross. Lord, remind each and every one of us every single day that we have value, that we are loved, that not just us, but everybody that we come in contact with. Lord, remind us that you are in the business of getting dirty. And that we should be getting dirty with you and reaching those who don't look like they deserve it and don't look like they need it. Because, Lord, you look on the inside, not on the outside. You see the condition of that heart. Lord, I ask that you open our eyes and open our hearts so that we can see everything that you do. Lord, I ask that you bless everybody in service tonight, our church family, our pastors, Pastor Dave and John and Jan and Vince, would be with them and guide them and protect them and continue leading us through them so that when it's time for us to get dirty and messy with you, Lord, we know we're being led in the right direction. Lord, we thank you for the mess that you have stepped into in each one of our lives. And Lord, while there may be work in my life that still is yet to be completed, Lord, we thank you for the wholeness that you bring about by entering into our lives. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys are dismissed. You guys have been a wonderful crowd. We love you, and we'll see you guys on Wednesday night.